This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'd. Today inshallah we will be speaking about at-tahannuth fi ghar al-Hira. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Khadija. So the hannuth bil ghar al-Hira is when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his worship in the cave of Hira. And remember, we spoke after the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Khadija. He also, now he had a little bit more time also to, you know, because of the situation, because of the how wealthy Khadija radiallahu anha was, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to devote himself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you might say, what kind of worship? What kind of worship is he going to do when he's already, you know, he's not a prophet or a messenger? How about what kind of Islam was there? We said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah is after revelation and before revelation. It can also be considered the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned that all of the things that the youth in Mecca used to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from any actions that would be deemed unacceptable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from doing any of those actions that are also contradictory to the principles of Islam, contradictory to Tawheed. And that's why he never touched any of those idols, what they used to touch. They used to slaughter for their idols. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never did he do so. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even prohibited Zayd ibn Harith. When Zayd was used to touch some of the idols that they used to go around making tawaf in. And of course, all of the norms that were unacceptable, that's against the fitrah, against the deen, the principles of good character, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was protected from all of those evil actions also. Remember, nudity was something that was normal for them. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was put in a situation where that was something that was possible, he fainted. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And then so he also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleansed his heart when he was very young. And so you have the fitrah, the inclination towards good. Fitratullah allati fatara an-nas alayha. The fitrah, the inclination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humanity. All of us, in fact, he created all of us with the inclination to do good, the inclination towards justice, inclination towards kindness, inclination towards being, you know, like helpful to other people, inclination towards giving sadaqah and charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humanity with those inclinations. Then how does the fitrah become changed? How does the fitrah become changed? The fitrah becomes, sometimes it's changed. The reason is because of Iblis and Shaytan. Shayateen al-ins and shayateen from the jinn also. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَا فَاجْتَالَتْهُمَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Allah subhanahu says, I created my creation, hunafa, hanif is what? Hanif is inclination towards the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and the inclination towards purity and kindness and goodness. But the shayateen, remember Iblis, he promised, or he made a vow, that he would try to do all he can to lead people astray, to lead people away from that fitrah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fitratullah allati fatara an-nas alayha. The fitrah, the natural inclination of mankind. La tabdila li khalqillah. There's no tabdil. What does that mean, tabdil? It doesn't mean there's no change, because the shayateen change it. There's no substitute. There's no substitute for it. What does that mean? That means all the laws that mankind make, to say that this is good, this is acceptable, whatever it is, socialism, democracy, whatever it is that people make up, there's no substitute for the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no substitute for the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People can change it. They can change, but there's no substitution for it. That means it's not going to work. There's not going to be peace. There isn't going to be tranquility. There isn't going to be any organization. There's going to be chaos when you leave the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fitrah of Allah, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based on natural inclinations, goodness. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we mentioned his name is Muhammad. He is the praised one. And if you look at his characteristics, there isn't a single society on the face of this earth that will go against the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was kind, honest, trustworthy. He was good towards the woman in his family, his wife, his children. He was just towards his children and towards the people. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kind, and also he was content with little that he had. He was thankful. He was well-mannered. He was shy. If you look at the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the natural disposition, the perfection of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is external and also internal. But that change, whether it's internal or external, is because of shayateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you perfect eyelashes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you perfect bodily shape and your attributes. And then the shayateen tell you to put all kinds of drawings on your body from what? You know, the tattoos. When you look at someone with a tattoo, you look at them and you say, Subhanallah, why would you do something like that? A person who has the natural al-fitrat as-salima, the natural disposition that is still pure, will look at that and realize that's ugly. But those whose fitrah have been mun'akis, that means it's flipped. Good becomes bad, bad becomes good, because the shayateen have taken over to the point where they become addicted. One tattoo is not enough. Once they start with one tattoo, they will have another one. Don't you notice? Someone who has a tattoo, he doesn't stop with just one. The shaytan has taken over that fitrah and flipped it. Where good becomes bad, bad becomes good, pure becomes filth, filth becomes pure, ugliness, beauty becomes ugly, ugliness becomes beauty. But those who have pure fitrah, they can see and detect it. They say, wow, that's ugly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us perfect features. Even our faces, the position on our nose, to our ears and to our mouth, it's perfect. You see how much this one is? Everybody, it's right here, and the eyes are right here, and the mouth is right here, and this is a little bit bigger. If you move it a little bit further up there, the wrong place, everyone says, oh, that's not normal. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the perfect place for our hands, for our feet, for our ears, for our eyes, for our mouths, everything, even our voices, Allah chose. Like subhanAllah, you close your eyes and somebody comes and you hear their voice, you don't see them but you know who it is. Because there's not a single person in the world that has the exact same voice. The exact same voice. There's not a single person in the world that has the exact same iris. That's why you look at your iPhone and you're like, your iPhone opens up for you. Right? Checks the eyes, your features, your eyes, your fingerprint. Perfect. Perfection like not like nothing else. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sees all of this, all of the, you know, he is someone who is pure. And when you see the corruption, when you see everything around you that's going against the fitrah that is pure and salim, the inclination of someone who is pure wants to do what? Wants to help them. Because they can't see the truth as it is the truth. They can't see right, they can't distinguish right from wrong. So even though he did not have revelation, the fitrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pure. And when he sees that, what do you want to do? When you see someone in the wrong and you love them, and you want goodness for them, you want to help them. But how can you help them? What can you do? How can you help them? How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give him revelation. And he's going to see the light, and Allah will help him to change, to help him change his society for the best. To take them away from the worship of idols. Something so illogical, something so disgusting, so stupid, I don't know how else to say. I mean, you don't even see it. I was just reading an article about, just today, they said, in India, they said, why should we follow the West and have Valentine's Day? Alhamdulillah, right? No, we don't want Valentine's Day. Okay, so what do they want? They want cow hugging day. They want cow hugging day. Like, why? Because there's a lot of tension between the East and the West. And there's, of course, Russia, India, China. They're on, you know, one side, right? They're, you know, and then there's the West on one side. And so there's a total rejection also, not just amongst Muslims only, even non-Muslims. If you follow like Indian politics and so forth, when it comes to America, they don't like America too much. So they're like, you know what? We don't want to follow Valentine's Day. Let's change this day to cow hugging day. Go hug a cow. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Yeah, some of the most quote-unquote intelligent minds in the world that work for companies like Intel, Microsoft, Google, some of the most advanced, what are they talking about? What are they? They're talking about hugging cows instead of Valentine's Day, right? So the reason why I'm mentioning this, because we're talking about the fitrah. The shaitan doesn't care what you worship, as long as you don't worship Allah. For all he cares, you can worship a cow if you want. You can worship anything. You can worship money. You can worship anything you want. But he doesn't want you to worship Allah alone. And if you believe in Allah, we'll make you associate with Allah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yanfaridu ila nafsihi mutaqarriban ila Allah azza wa jal fi ghar ma'ruf bi ghar Hira. So this is al-mabhath al-khamis ashar, this is the 15th section that we want to speak about right now today. And he used to go by himself to the cave. Why? He used to isolate himself just to reflect, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to, you know, when a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it puts them at peace. So when you see the corruption around in society, when you see everything that's going on in society and the corruption in society, you see that it bothers you. You're not at peace because it's against the fitrah. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you at ease. So that even before revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is isolating himself to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he would go to this cave known as the cave of Hira, Ghar Hira. What is Ghar? Ghar is a small cave. When you say Kaf, you know, Surat al-Kaf is a big cave where they have caverns, you know, sort of like it's a cavern. So you can't really fit 7-8 people in a ghar, right? But you can fit them in a kaf because it's bigger or it has compartments. And that's what you call the kaf. Well, a ghar is just a small hole in the mountain, like what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who have gone to Mecca and have seen, or you might have seen some pictures, Ghar Hira. There's also Ghar Thawr, which was the cave that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hid before going to Medina during the Hijrah, the migration from Mecca to Medina. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go to a place, a ghar known as Ghar Hira. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَقَدْ حُبَّبَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him love that. You know, there are certain things that you like to do. You know, some people like to go camping because they find peace in going camping. Some people like to go fishing because they find peace in going fishing. Right? And so whatever free time they have, they go fishing. They find peace. That's what they love. Some people have different hobbies and they even spend money doing those things. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam love? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him love seclusion. Seclusion. Going alone, and he would bring food with him. And he would go in Ghar Hira. Why Ghar Hira? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam choose, and Allah knows best, why did he choose that specific place? If you've been there, you will see. In the old days, before all of these mountains, or all of these buildings were popped up around the Kaaba, if you go to Ghar Hira and you look down, you see all of Mecca. You look down and you see Mecca. You see the Kaaba, you see people making tawaf around the Kaaba. It's a place it's a peaceful place. You're far away from the turmoil, the commotion, the corruption of the people, but at the same time you can still see them. You can still see them from above. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go there. And he used to stay there. فَكَانَ يَبْقَى فِي هَذَا الْغَارِ الْأَيَّامُ وَالْأَيَالِ إِلَىٰ أَنَتَاهُ الْوَحْيِ فِي. And he used to go for days and nights. And he would bring food with him. He would bring food with him. And he would give some to the people that are along the way. That's how he was until, of course, revelation came to him. وَكَانَتْ سِنُّهُ آنَذَكَ 40 سَنَةً. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during that time was 40 years of age. He was 40 years of age. 40 is a very specific, very, 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 an age that is, it's very, very important. Just like how a person, you know, what are some of the times in your life that's important? The times in life that's important, usually when a person, of course, as a baby, you come out, it's a very important day, the day that you're born. And then when you reach puberty, from a child to becoming an adult, your body starts to change. Your energy level, your hormones, and so forth. And you know, sometimes people at that age, they have so much energy. If it's not directed correctly, then you'll see a lot of rebellion. Like people like to do, they don't want to listen to their parents anymore. They think that their parents don't know anything. Right? They think that they know everything already. You know, at 14, you think you know everything, right? You think you know everything. You don't want to listen to your parents. Then when you grow up, you start quoting your parents afterwards. Right after that, okay, person grows up, and then when they reach the age of 40, that's when the body matures. The body reaches its peak at the age of 33. The body reaches its peak at the age of 33. You become good, you become stronger and stronger if you keep on working out. You continue to be stronger, you continue to be faster. Your reflexes are quick. As soon as you hit 33, you start going downhill. Your body starts going downhill. You might not notice it at 34, 33, but you know who are the people who notice it? The people who have to pay you a lot of money for your skills. So you will see baseball players, basketball players, soccer players. If before they reach the age of 33, they are willing to give them long contracts up to that age. No matter what sport it is, when the difference between a superstar, because everyone is good, right? Everyone is good. The difference between a normal player and a superstar is just half a second. It's just half a second. If you're half a second faster, then you escape. Or you kick the ball and you go around, you can go around the other person. But you lose that half a second, then you're like everybody else. And if you're like everybody else, we don't want to pay you more than anyone else. So they're not going to pay you more. So you look at the sports contracts, they know. These people would study. And it's very important. It's so important. This age here is so important that the people who are coming from the Caribbean, from the Dominican Republic, from Puerto Rico, or you know, from some of these countries, you know, that are in the Caribbean where they don't really know their age, or sometimes they fake their age. And they might fake their age, which might be just 3 or 4 years, but that's important. Because 3 years, you're going to pay millions of dollars to this person, and you know, like, hey, he's not 30. He's not 30 years old. He's already 33. He's already 33. You're not going to pay him a lot because you know that his skills are going to decline after this. Everybody, right? Everyone declines. And you have to work harder to keep that skill. But your body gives way. It's just that you've reached that age. And so that when you enter Jannah, everybody enters Jannah at their peak, physically. I mean, that's the age in which everyone's at their peak. You guys are thinking, I think I'm over the hill. And a lot of you are coming close to it. But once you hit that, you start going down from there. But the mind matures around the age of 40. Around 40 years of age. And that's why when someone reaches about the age of 40 and they're still lost, they don't know what they're doing, What do you call that in English? Call that midlife crisis. Midlife crisis. So they're like, wait. They get to this age, and then their mind matures, and they're like, wait, I can't be playing video games anymore. Right? But they're like, but I do like video games. And then they're like, no, but I'm not young. I'm still young. Then they realize, no, I'm not young anymore. I'm 40 years of age. And then they start trying to go buy a sports car or something like that, right? Like, you know, what am I supposed to do here now? I don't know what to do at this age. Right? Because this is the time when the mind reflects. It's like it hits this level and like, you know, like your body hits its peak. It's strong, right? When the mind hits that, oh, whoa, I can see a little bit better now, but I don't know what's there. And because they don't have Islam, as a Muslim, you start seeing, you get to the age of 40, and you say, what is the meaning of life? And then you say, it's to worship Allah. And that's why, do you know the people in Medina? Whenever the people of Medina used to reach the age of 40 years, they used to devote themselves to the worship of Allah. From that point on, they were like, okay, you know what? This is the time when I should devote myself to the worship of Allah. The time of chasing after the dunya is over. You know, looking to maybe do this and do that. Like, you know what? They start to reality hits them in the face. When reality hits the mu'min, the believer, in the face, they start seeing at 40, oh, I'm starting to have grays. This life is not the end. This life is not the end. There is an afterlife. And I have to prepare for that. I have to prepare for that. So now I have to be a man. I have to be mature. The mind starts to flash. For a disbeliever, he doesn't know what to do. And so they go through a midlife crisis around that age. But for a believer, okay, it's time for me to work for the deen, work for the hereafter. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the age of 40, he starts to love secluding himself. Why? Because of all of this corruption. You can't just let it continue. Somebody has to do something about it. This has to stop. The rich cannot continue oppressing the poor. The strong cannot continue taking advantage of the weak. There has to be something there that we can do about it. Has to be something there. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know the mindset of the Messenger of Allah. When Allah says, وَالْضُحَى وَالْضُحَى, by the forenoon. Meaning, you know, when after Fajr, when the night is over, there starts to become the brightness on the horizon starts, and that's the Fajr. And then when the brightness on the horizon is clear, you can see everything now. You can see things clearly. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَى وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. In other words, you know, the night is gone. When the day overtakes the night and everything is clear. And the opposite, when it happens, when darkness comes, takes away that light. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by what? Swearing by the forenoon. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. Your Lord has not forsaken you. And yes, the people used to make fun of him when he used to receive revelation. But you know what? Allah did not forsake you. When the Messenger of Allah goes to the Ghar Hira, he's worshipping Allah. He's supplicating to Allah. And we know how what kind of person he is. He wants goodness for the people. Well, you know what? This is the opportunity. This is Allah has chosen you as a prophet, a messenger of God. It is true after seeing Waraqa. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord has not forsaken you, nor does He dislike you. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. At that time, what are you thinking about? This is not all that's there. The hereafter is better than this life. The hereafter, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. The hereafter is better for you than this life. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And your Lord will give you that which pleases you. There's so many things here, right? Allah is going to give to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of him. But he's also going to give him what? An opportunity here. What is that? Revelation. He's made him a prophet, a messenger of God. You want to change? I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you that which pleases you. In this life and in the hereafter. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did he not find you an orphan and he sheltered you? Did Allah not find you an orphan? Weren't you an orphan before? And who was it that sheltered you? Your Lord took care of you. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And did he not find you astray? When we say astray here, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that he's off on the wrong path. No, no. We found you astray. You were looking for the truth. You were looking to try to bring people back to Allah. You were looking to find and bring people back to the natural fitrah, the purity of good character. Good character. Justice of kindness and goodness and all that's good. The Messenger of Allah went to Ghar al-Hira. He wants to make this change in society. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Did we not find you in that situation where you're looking for the truth? You didn't know who's going to help you, but Allah guided you. Allah gave to you. Allah guided you to this. To this deen, to this revelation. Allah subhanahu guided you to him. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Did he not find you poor? And he enriched you. Did he not find you poor? And he enriched you. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Remember before, you were an orphan. So when an orphan comes to you, don't shoo them away. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ, the one who's asking, comes to you begging, don't expel him. Don't turn him away. Remember how you were before also. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the blessing of your Lord, proclaim it. What is the greatest blessing? All of this, Allah guided him to the truth, to be a prophet, a messenger of God. Now it's your turn. It's time. It's time to go out and call people to the worship of Allah alone. Take people from the darkness وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. From the darkness to the light, so that they can see the truth. It is time. So this, it was one of the first verses that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it shows you the kind, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going through. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember when he reveals this verse, when you know what he's thinking, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him the solution. Look, hey, Allah is talking to him and talking to us through revelation. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so beautiful. That when you read the seerah and you read the Quran, not only do you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically did, you also know his mindset. What he was thinking, what he was going through, the emotions that he was going through are mentioned by the one who knows all. Who knows the apparent, who knows the hidden, who knows what you do in the open and what you do in secret, and he knows what's in your heart. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكَانَ يَمْكُثُ فِي حِرَاء شَهْرًا مِنْ كُلِّ سَنَةٍ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend a whole month. He used to spend a whole month in every single year. He used to spend a whole month every single year. What month do you think that is? Ramadan. When was the revelation? When did it first come? During the month of Ramadan. And even after revelation, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continue? Did he continue? Yes. How did he continue? What was this seclusion? To devote yourself to the worship of Allah, to prayer and dhikr. What is that? What do we call that in Ramadan? Tahajjud. Al-i'tikaf. Very good. I'tikaf, secluding himself in the masjid. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that even before revelation. And of course he couldn't do it in the masjid, al-masjid al-haram. It's too much chaos. Everyone going around naked, around the Kaaba, slaughtering for others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to idols. People are committing so much sins and corruption and shirk that's not, at that time, that's not the place where you find peace and tranquility and seclusion and reflection. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا تَتَحَنَّثُ بِهِ قُرَيْشِ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَةِ. This is Ibn Ishaq, he mentions that the people in Jahiliyyah also, they used to, those who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there were some people who had the fitrah still to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُطْعِمُ مَنْ جَاءَهُ مِنَ الْمَسَاكِينَ. You know, there were some poor people. There were some poor people who used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you remember, this is during Ramadan, before revelation. What did he used to do also? He was very generous. Even before revelation, he would go around bring food to the poor. Subhanallah. The fitrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so pure. So pure. That before Ramadan, he was already doing the acts of Ramadan. Before the month of Ramadan, in terms of fasting, what we know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already guided towards that. Through the fitrah, through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُطْعِمُ مَنْ جَاءَهُ مِنَ الْمَسَاكِينَ. He would bring food and give to the poor and the needy. وَإِذَا قَضَى جِوَارُهُ مِنْ شَهْرِهِ هَذَا كَانَ أَوُّلَ مَا يَبْدَأْ بِهِ الطَّوَافْ بِالْكَعْبَةِ. Then when he would finish, he would come back down, and the first thing that he would do, he would make tawaf around the Kaaba. What is that? Anybody know there's a significance of going, making tawaf around the Kaaba in Ramadan? Or going to Mecca in Ramadan? What's the reward for? Yes, but what is there anything that we do in Islam? Umrah. What is Umrah in Ramadan? What is equal?
Hajj.
Very good. Umrah fi Ramadan, ta'dilu Hajj. Umrah in the month of Ramadan is equivalent to the Hajj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. For those who want, if they want to make get the reward of Hajj, you can also go into Ramadan. Let's say you already made Hajj and you want the reward, go make Umrah during the month of Ramadan. Umrah is sunnah. The reward of Umrah is the reward of Umrah. But the reward of Umrah during the month of Ramadan is equivalent to the next level, which is Hajj. Why? Because when you do a good deed in the month of Ramadan, it is multiplied and magnified, so your regular Umrah becomes a Hajj in terms of reward. What somebody might say, okay, I think going for Ramadan, making Umrah during Ramadan is a little bit cheaper than Hajj. Let me do that so I don't have to make Hajj. No. To get the reward is different from the validity. You can't. It doesn't count as your Hajj al-Islam. It doesn't count. You might get the reward of the Hajj al-Islam, but it doesn't count that way. And so the Prophet, وَكَانَ أَوْلَ مَا يَبْدَأْ بِهِ الطَّوَافِ بِالْكَعْبَةِ. Right? So when he would come back from his seclusion, he would make tawaf around the Kaaba. وَقَدْ اِخْتَلَفِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فِي تَعَبُّدِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ قَبْلِ الْبِعْثَةِ. Many of the scholars, they are in difference, or they're a difference of opinion. They differed concerning his worship. هَلْ كَانَ عَلَى شَرْعٍ أَمْ لَا. Was it something that's based on the Sharia? What Sharia? What was it based on? What rule, what Sharia was it based on? وَمَا ذَلِكَ شَرْعٍ. Now, what did he follow? Like, whose example did he follow? When he used to go and worship, which prophet is he following? Which Sharia was he following? Of course, it's the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. But who, in terms of the prophets and messengers before, used to do that? Who is he imitating? Who is he copying? So some of them, فَقِيلَ شَرْعَ نُوحَ. Some people say this is he is following the example of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, because of what Nuh used to do. Others, وَقِيلَ شَرْعَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And some people said the Sharia, the Shar' of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so this seems to be the strongest. Why? Because the last prophet that was sent to the Arabs, that was, you know, during that time, the last prophet that was sent to the Arabs, whose sunnah was still being followed by the Arabs, even though some of it was corrupted, was who? Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Ibrahim, and then Prophet Ismail, from the progeny of Prophet Ismail came the Quraysh. And from the Quraysh came the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that seems to be the strongest opinion. Some people say it was Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Why? What did Prophet Musa do? When he went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the mountain, and he was given the tablets and the Torah, Tawrat, right? In these tablets, like, La Allah, it's heavy. Literally, literally heavy. The Quran, mashallah, it's given with ease. You know, it's like it's heavy in terms of its significance, yes, and status. But Prophet Musa, he had tablets of stone. He had to carry. The Prophet Musa, alayhi salam, may Allah have mercy upon him. He had to go through so much. Right, with his people, and even revelation came to him in stones that he had to carry. Allahu Akbar. Waqila Isa. Some of them said Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Waqila kullu ما ثبت عنه شرع عنده اتبعه عمل به. And of course, you have to understand that because this is the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the same inclinations. Right? They all had the same inclinations. Like they also had the same inclinations to worship Allah, to make that change, and they were the best of their people. They were the best in character. And so this is, you know, this particular issue is, you know, it's not just the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also all the other prophets and messengers of Allah, they devoted themselves, and there was a time of seclusion. And one thing that we can benefit from also is that as Muslims, you need that time. We also need that time to make dhikr, the time that you don't want to hang, or you don't want all the commotion. You want to go away from the people, go away from all the problems that you may have, and devote yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your Lord has a right upon you. وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. And then your family, they have a right upon you. وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. And you yourself also have a right upon yourself also. فَأَعْتِ كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا. So there's a time when you devote yourself, a time for the worship of Allah. In a year, in a week, you might have, you know, you have the Friday. In the year, you have the month of Ramadan. Devote yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it doesn't mean that you don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the other months, no. But you take it another step, another notch. So on Friday, bring it up another notch. Right? And every single day, when it's time for prayer, you know, go to work. Fulfill your obligations. But when it's time for prayer, give it your all. Give it your all. Devote yourself. When you're praying, concentrate. Have focus. Have khushu in your prayer. And every single year you have Ramadan. You have to devote yourself. Sacrifice the time this month, the month of Ramadan, that you maybe, if you have vacations you can take it. To devote yourself to the worship of Allah. And then you have the yearly journey, which is the Hajj. You can't just continue to chase the dunya. There has to come a time in which you answer the call of Allah and say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. And you spend your money, devote yourself, and go to Mecca. Some people, they devote themselves, they work really hard, and what do? They go on a vacation, right? What is our vacation? Our vacation is Hajj and Umrah. A believer has their hearts yearn to go to Mecca. And once you go to Mecca, and once you go to Medina, and you get that feeling, you just want to go back. When you have money, you go to Umrah. You want to go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to pray in it, and to go to Mecca. And if you can also, you're able to go, the three masajids, Masjid Al-Aqsa also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free Al-Aqsa from the hands of the zalimeen. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he received revelation, we will speak about more. This is before revelation. What was he doing? He went to worship Allah. He devoted himself. And this was the time during the month of Ramadan. During the last few months, or the last few days, one of the odd days during the month of Ramadan, Jibreel came down with Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. It was during the month of Ramadan, when the Prophet ﷺ was 40 years of age. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him revelation. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to go. Go and proclaim, call the people to this message. You see all that corruption there? You can make a change. You do that. And your followers will continue to do that. And then we carry that message. that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ghar Hira during the month of Ramadan, in the last week, the last few days of Ramadan. And that's the night of what? Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allama bil qalam. But before that, how did Allah prepare the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to receive revelation? How did He prepare him? I'll end it with the hadith, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to receive, as Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Inna awwal ma budi'a bihi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam min al-wahi al-ru'ya al-sadiqah fi al-nawm." The first thing that came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of revelation, min al-wahi al-ru'ya al-sadiqah, truthful dreams while he was asleep. So he would see some things in his dream. And the prophets and messengers, when they have dreams, the shaitan cannot influence their dreams. And so whatever they see is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he would see something, and then it would happen. You would see something, then it would happen. And he would see something again, then it would happen. He would see something as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was showing him. So imagine you start seeing that, what do you feel? Like, this is something special. You're scared? You're like, whoa. The next time you see a dream, then you already know what's coming, right? Well, it's to prepare him, because he's going to receive information from Allah directly. Of course, through Jibreel, and sometimes some types of revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly sends it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah prepares him with a ru'ya sadiqa fi al-nawm. فَكَانَ لَا يَرَى رُؤْيَا إِلَّا جَاءَتْ مِثْلَ فَلَقْ صُبْحٍ. And he would not see a dream except that it was as clear as the morning. That means whatever he saw, it happened. ثُمَّ حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى. And then he began to love to seclude himself. It's something that he loved to do. فَكَانَ يَخْلُو بِغَارِ حِرَى يَتَحَنَّثُ. And he used to go to the cave of Hira to, يَتَحَنَّثُ means to worship. How did he worship? Allah knows best. The remembrance of Allah, reflection, all of these things are considered also acts of worship. He would go, and she said, Fihi al-layal dhawat al-adad. I mean, he would go for many days and nights. Not just one night and go come back, no. He would go for multiple days and nights. قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْجِعَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. And after that, he returned back to his family. So he would leave his family even. And so that's why in i'tikaf, what do? You leave your family, right? You leave your family. You don't spend time, you know, if you want, your wife wants to visit you, or she has i'tikaf also, if she's spending in the masjid also, yeah, but you don't go home. You don't go home. You don't even go home for dinner. You don't go home for breakfast. I mean, it's Ramadan, but you don't go home for iftar. You stay in the masjid the whole time. You leave your family. So he left his family, and he would go back. وَيَتَزَوَّدْ لِذَلِكْ. يَتَزَوَّدْ means he would take provisions with him, food, and whatever he needs. ثُمَّ يَرْجِعْ إِلَى خَدِيجَةَ فَيَتَزَوَّدْ لِمِثْلِهَا. And then he would get more food and prepare for again. He would go back. Before, he would do it once in every year, but then he started to do it more often. He started to do it more often. And even at the end of his life, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend more time in i'tikaf. Also, hatta until after that, فجاءه الحق وهو في غار الحراء. And that's when suddenly the truth came, meaning the revelation came, when he was in Hira. when he was in Hira. So this was before revelation. Allah showed him in his dreams. And so that's why dreams, the only thing we have of revelation now is dreams. Dreams of a believer. And when it's near the Day of Judgment, when it's one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is actually the dreams of a believer become true. Why? When the people are going through so much hardship, so much difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends tranquility to the believers by giving them dreams that strengthen their faith. Dreams that strengthen their faith. So you might see something that strengthens you, like, Allahu Akbar, I gotta pray more. I have to fast more. Dreams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to increase in times of difficulty because a believer is supplicating to Allah. And one way that Allah strengthens a person's heart is through righteous dreams. When it's near the Day of Judgment, when the trials and tribulations are so great that a person who is alive will want to be like the person who would rather be the person in the grave under the ground, 7 feet under the ground, because the trials and tribulations are so great. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam Allah prepared him in times. This is the time of great trials and tribulations and great, you know, evils. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bada al-Islamu ghariban wa sayyudu ghariban kama bada'a fatuba lil-ghuraba." Islam started strange and it will return and revert back to being strange. So give glad tidings to the strangers. Another thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, one thing that the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, he said, إِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُ حَجَرًا بِمَكَّةِ إِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُ حَجَرًا بِمَكَّةِ I know of a rock in Mecca. كَانَ يُسَلِّمْ عَلَيَّ قَبْلَ أَنْ أُبْعَثَ إِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُهُ الْآنَ Like, I know of a particular rock that used to give salams to me. Used to give salams to me. Like a rock talks to you and gives salams to you. Like if we saw something, we get scared. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us some of these miracles to prepare him for a prophet, to be a prophet and messenger of God. If a rock is giving salam, this is a miracle. A rock is saying, Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. Peace be upon you also. Right? And the rock is able to speak. And the rock doesn't speak to everybody. Right? And if we hear something like that, right, what do we think? Like, am I hearing things, right? But he knows he isn't. And that's why all of these things that are happening, he actually did not really know. But then you think, when it actually happens, what do you think? When he's being told now by Waraqa ibn Nawfal, hey, you, this is the same inspiration, the same revelation that came to you, right? Is it all new? No, then if you start thinking, oh, now I know why all of these strange things were happening. Now I know why the rock gave salams to me. Because Allah has chosen me as a prophet and messenger. Now I know why all these dreams I was seeing, they were truth. They were from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is just a continuation of that. To make him realize that, hey, it's not, you know, just, you know, because sometimes when you see something, if it's too sudden, you might have some doubts, but then when you say, oh, that's what happened, that's what it was, and then you start to look back and you start to think back and you see some of those things, oh yeah, that's right. Alhamdulillah. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Now that you realize that you are a prophet and messenger of God, as for the blessing of your Lord, proclaim it. Be thankful to Allah and proclaim it. All of these blessings. Do you see that? See what happened before? So that's why Allah has revealed. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى is reminding him, look what I did for you before. This is not new. I've been taking care of you this whole time. I have been preparing you all your whole life for this. Now is the time. Ya ayyuha al-muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila. Ya ayyuha al-muddathir qum fa'anzir. Oh, you who is covered up, it's time for you to stand up and now call people to this. I've been preparing you all of your life for this moment. From now on, you are a prophet and messenger of God. Even, remember, even the rocks were giving salams to you. Remember all those dreams? It's all preparation for this day. This time period. It's time. Sleeping time is over. It's time to get to work. When you're 40 years of age, that's time to get to work. For us, it's like, oh, this time retirement. Let me relax. No, no, no. Retirement is when you enter Jannah. That's retirement. 40 years of age, you better get to work. Work to do what? Chase the dunya? No, 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 no. Work for the hereafter. Work for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Carry this message. You 40 years of age, it's time to work. Retirement for us is the beginning of real work. To devote yourself to the worship of Allah. I mean, you should be doing that before that also. But if you're like still sleepwalking, it's time to wake up. If you're still asleep after 40, and you're still sleeping after 40, that's tough. And that's why if someone doesn't change after they're 40, it's hard. That's why the elderly, you tell them to change, they don't want to change. They're set on their ways. They're set. And the youngsters are more open to change. And that's why the people of Mecca, the people who accepted Islam at the beginning, were who? They were the youngsters. Because they were more ready to change. Those who are over 40 years of age, they're already set in their ways. And they don't want to change. And that's why at 40 years of age, your mind is set. And so that's why this is the time in which you start to work and devote yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. If you haven't started, then this is the time to start. If you've already been doing it, take it to the next level. Sleep is over. Sleep is over. It's time for work because you're about to meet Allah. And you need a lot. It's a long journey and you don't have much provision. You need to prepare for this long journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the hereafter. And inshallah next week I'll be here, so we'll continue again on same time inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits us and benefit us from that which He has taught us.